The people not only had to have faith in God, but they had to have faith in the one whom God had sent as well. Do you hear a common theme here? This is where it begins. This is where it begins. The people not only had to have faith in God, but they had to have faith in the one whom God had sent as well. They had to believe that God actually sent Moses. I'm hoping that you're beginning to see how this is not only based on a relationship with God, but a relationship with a human being, Moses, whom the Hebrew people had to also have faith in. Boy, I tell you, I'm going to have to get new paper. This is sliding all over the place. I've never had trouble with that before. I think Sarah bought different paper and just to trick me. That's what it was. So first of all, I want you to see that this is the beginning of a mediator between God and the people. This is a leader that the people were free to follow, which meant that they were also following God's will as well. God's will as well. The second portion of this idea of faith in the Exodus is an active faith. The second concept of this Exodus story brings us to the fact that there is more to faith than intellectual assent. Many of us even today say, I believe in Jesus as God's Son, and I believe that He rose from the dead. That's intellectual assent, but true belief, true faith, is more than intellect. It is actually coming out of our life. It is actually coming out of the center of who we are. So faith, this kind of faith, is more than just an intellectual assent. It's a faith in God's mediator as well as God. It is more than just believing. It's a living out of our faith. And the Exodus story teaches us that we need to live out our faith in trusting God as one who is continuously willing and able to fulfill His promises and to rule the life of His people. To rule the life of His people. Well, let's skip through this Exodus story real quick. I hope you have your Bibles handy. And it begins in Exodus 4. And let's see if we can kind of pull out these two concepts as we move through this the book of Exodus quickly. Beginning with verse 29 in chapter 4, Moses and Aaron get the elders of the Israelites' approval. So that's just simple. I just want to lift that up, that their first priority was to get the elders of the Israelites' approval to do what they were going to do, all right? So then if we turn to 5 verse 1, Exodus chapter 5. All right, so after they got the approval, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." Now, if you think about it, this is really a huge step of faith for Moses and Aaron. Because most people in this day and age believe that the Pharaoh was someone who was a god or godlike and could pretty much just flick them like a flea and they would be gone. All right? So to have two people like Moses and Aaron, who were essentially nobodies at that point, walk up and say to release God's people was a huge step. So I have to say that was pretty impressive on Moses' part. But, you know, if we move through this, if we go down to verse 15, look what happens. Now, many of you know the Moses story, and you know the conversations that's taken place, but this will remind you if you don't remember. Verse 15, "Then the Israelite supervisors came to Pharaoh and cried, 'Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, make bricks. Look how your servants are beaten. You are unjust to your own people.' He said, 'You are lazy, lazy. That is why you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go now and work, for no straw shall be given to you, but you shall still deliver the same number of bricks.' The Israelite supervisors saw that they were in trouble when they were told, "You shall not lessen your daily number of bricks."